This is County Close Up, news from Haliburton County with Elizabeth Oakley.
The ice storm that pummeled our region and others in March, that downed power lines, damaged property, and left thousands of Ontarians without power for a week or more, also put a financial strain on many municipalities across the province. Thanks to Hydro One's Ice Storm 2025 Recovery Grant, 50 Indigenous communities and municipalities, including the County of Haliburton and the Township of Minden Hills, will receive up to $10,000 to support local recovery efforts and bolster emergency preparedness. Early on, Minden Hills declared a state of emergency that lasted long after the initial storm and subsequent power outage. That declaration made the municipality eligible for provincial aid. With the additional grant monies from Hydro One, Mayor Bob Carter says the emergency infrastructure in the municipality can now be enhanced. He says the money is appreciated, given that it lifts the financial burden off the backs of local taxpayers.
We knew about it because they told us that they were going to do it and to apply. And so, you know, who knows? You apply for lots of grants in this world and who knows how successful you're going to be. But it turned out to be successful and, you know, that's great.
Carter says the grant monies have already been spent so that the municipality is ready for the next emergency.
Hydro One obviously realized there's having your normal equipment and then having the equipment you need in an emergency where all of a sudden it's 7 days a week, 16 hours a day. They recognized the situation that they had. And they also, I think, when they visited the municipalities, they realized that we too had that same type of a situation. So they created this grant program. In fact, it helped us pay for some chainsaws and a rescue saw, a portable generator for the fire department that they could carry out in case they needed to use some of those saws and things like that. And we were also able to put in some radios in some of our trucks that didn't normally have radios because at the beginning, remember, we had no cell phone service. Right? There were 7 cell towers that were down. The towers weren't down, but the connectivity to them were down. So it was very difficult for us to be able to track people, or if they were out at something and they realized that, you know, what they were assigned to do was, you know, well beyond what they could do because of the extent of the damage, having a radio communication really helps. So, you know, hey, got a couple of trucks with some radios, got some saws and a generator, and that's pretty much what we used the grant for. So all necessary consumables in a time of an emergency.
While he's thankful for Hydro One grant monies that strengthen Minden Hills' preparedness, Carter says he's proud to have offered relief to local residents with the opening of the 24/7 warming shelter at the S.G. Nesbitt Memorial Arena and how his community pulled together during the crisis.
We've gone through some floods before. We've gone through some issues before. And it's just the nature of people in Minden to help one another. You know, there were lots of private people that did things that were obviously never, ever published. We practice our emergency management. We have full-scale practices where we do tabletop exercise for, you know, half a day or so, where we would include the OPP and the paramedics and fire, and everybody is involved in those practices. You know, we did one on cybersecurity. We did another one, which was a brush fire that turned out to be more of a forest fire. We also trained everybody who had a role and their backup. When this happened, really the first meeting I had was with our head of roads and infrastructure, Mike Timmons, and our fire chief. On the Sunday afternoon, we said, first of all, we agreed that we were taking all of our staff off the roads because they were out there working and there were trees falling on them, and, you know, safety is number one. And then we said we will convene with the full team on Monday morning and we'll almost certainly have to declare a disaster. And then as soon as we did that, you know, around this table, we had 20 odd people because we were just unfortunate. I think we had 5 people out, key people, because of vacations or sickness. They weren't in town, but the backups just stepped right up. And in some cases, you know, we didn't need a certain role. Somebody who needed somebody, you know, they just went over there. And, you know, quickly as we went through everybody, you know, what do we need to do? Well, of course, you know, at first we had no 911 service or telephones or internet or radios for fire and ambulance were both out also. Finding all of our people, like we had to make sure that all of our staff were safe and could they come into work and, you know, would they be able to help? And at the time, we said, we don't know everything that we're going to need here. So let's everybody come into work and then we'll figure out what work you're going to do. Like in the first couple of days, there were people in the office just cleaning up what was on their desk. But then suddenly, you know, they became cooks or they became, you know, organizing the shower services at the warming center or the, you know, taking reservations for the beds. We just quite literally on the Monday morning at 10 o'clock, we said to our, you know, Candace McGuigan, our director of community services, they say, we need a warming center, take some people, go do it. Don't know what it is really, but you know exactly. But we're probably going to need, you know, coffee and we're going to need showers. And, you know, they called up Red Cross and by 5 o'clock we had, you know, 50 beds set up. And virtually every other group, whether it be roads or paramedics or so, everybody went and did their thing. But we were back twice a day, you know, coordinating. And so everybody heard everything that was going on. And in some cases, something that didn't directly or they didn't think would affect them, they went, well, wait a minute. You know, for instance, we had situations where Hydro would restore the power somewhere and then 300 meters down the road, there was a fire because the wire was wrapped around a tree. We had to make sure that people were in their houses because if we turned on the power, depending on what was on in their house, anything could happen. So there was just an immense amount of coordination and everybody, look, we went from a 40-hour a week business, if you will, to 168-hour a week business because we were 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. People who normally worked, you know, Monday to Friday from 8:30 to 4:30 were suddenly, you know, working the overnight shift on Saturday night sort of thing. And staff just, they just took it all in stride. You know, we kept our focus on the people.
Carter says much of the summer months will be taken up with post-mortem meetings on the municipality's response during the ice storm and power outages. Every department will be examining what worked, what didn't, and how to prepare for the next emergency situation.
County Close Up is made possible through the support of the Local Journalism Initiative and the Community Radio Fund of Canada. You can find more stories from Haliburton County on canoefm.com and frequencynews.ca. This is Elizabeth Oakley for County Close Up.